With your permission. Menachem Aleph Perek Hey, with your permission, I would like to start one pasuk before. This is chapter 4, sentence 20. We are at the subject that Shlomo became the king on Am Yisrael at 12 years old. Immediately when he became the king, he appointed 12 representatives, supervisors, to rule the tribes, divided the Eretz Yisrael to parts, and those 12 representatives used to be responsible to feed Shlomo HaMelech and his family and the people that come to see him at the palace 1 per month. After he's appointed,
they collected taxes from them?
Taxes and food mainly. A little bit taxes, but mainly was food. But also taxes, but at that time the main thing was food. So they used to collect from them food. They didn't have food, they gave money. Usually in Israel they had everything grown, so they didn't have to import. Most of the things they didn't have to import. But maybe some taxes also, the David says, for the roads or for other things to pay the people maybe. But the main thing was food. Excuse me. Sentence 20 page is chapter 4 with your permission. At the end of the description that Shlomo appointed the supervisors, the Navi says, Yudah v'Yisrael rabim kachol asher al hayam larov ochvim meshetim asnerim. The description, how many Jewish people used to be at the time, the Navi says, kachol asher al hayam larov. Like sand on the beach. Again, the Medrash says the time of David was about 6 million Jews. So how can it be by Shlomo? Let's say Shlomo now is a few years since he's ruling, since the Navi will say that they like sand on the beach. It's not like sand on the beach. Maybe a million more. 7 million, but it's not the sand on the beach. So the Gemara says really what it means is that Am Israel are being compared to the sand of the beach. What it really means that in the time of David HaMelech was an epidemic, people died in wars, says the Gemara. And now in time of Shlomo, immediately HaKadosh Baruch Hu was able to fulfill and to take care of the loss of life that was lost, that were lost at the time of David HaMelech. The Gemara says like the sand of the beach, let's say if you poke it and you make a hole in the sand, the next day you come, it's going to be no hole. The sand has kind of tendency to come back to itself. So it means really, Yudav Yisrael Rabim Kechol Hayam, Kechol Asher Al Hayam, Yudav Yisrael are like the sand on the beach. It doesn't mean a number. What it means, they are being compared to the sand of the beach. The Gemara says, and the Midrash says another explanation to the sand of the beach, even though each part is by itself, each piece is by itself, but together they're able to stop the ocean, to stop the sea from coming on the dry land. And Israel also, they were united, that's what it means, and they very together, like the sand of the beach, they were able to stop all the tragedies and all the problems. Another explanation that Gemara, the Midrash says is that Am Israel is a nation that brings a blessing to the world. In our time you can see it also. The states, the countries that have Jewish people that are very successful, and the others are not as successful. So the Gemara says that it means that Am Israel had some kind of a power to bless everything. So this is really what it means, and the Pasuk says that Am Israel is like the sand of the beach, it means like the sand of the beach, It means you are blessed with some kind of energy that gives everything to everybody, and of course first to yourself. Therefore the Navi says, "Ochlim v'shatim usmechim," they eat and they drink and they're very happy because they were united like son of the beach. But again, it's not the number, just description of Am Yisrael like the son of the beach. Okay. It's okay. Again, this is mass according to the numbers. This is the Gemara says. The Gemara says it must be that explanation of son of the beach. But the question is, what did they make? Why did they have to say that? Chapter 5, Melachim Aleph, Perek Hei, with your permission, sentence on Shlomo Ya Moshe B'chol HaMamlachot. We're going back to Shlomo, and at 12 years old, he is ruling all the countries. Mi Anahar to Eres Bishti, which means from the river, it's called the Gemara, says from Fad, the Medrash says, from Nahar Fad is all the way down to Syria, Jordan, Iraq, Eres Mishtim all the way down to the west, where the Mishtim used to live, Radgur Mitzrayim, toward Egypt. Not Egypt, Egypt it was not ruling. Even though the Gemara says Shlomo is one of the kings that ruled maybe the whole world, maybe part of the world, but the Navi said he should know he was able to rule, but not Egypt. Magishim Mincha, all those countries used to bring presents and some kind of maybe sacrifice, some kind of taxes. Mavdim et Shlomo kol yemei chayav, as long as Shlomo was alive, used to worship Shlomo. It means Shlomo ruled them. It means those countries around us, Israel. There is no exact description, but you should know he was able to rule a lot. The Gemara will tell us later that he was able to rule maybe the whole world, like something very similar to Ahasuerus. He is the first king ever that ruled so many countries.
First king or first Jewish king?
First king and Jewish king. There's another guy, the Gemara says, that also was very powerful, his name was Achav, later in Sefer Melachim, also ruled a lot of countries. But Shlomo was the first one, and then was Achav, and then Achashverosh. Those three, says the Gemara, they ruled a lot of countries.
Achav the bad king was the ruler of a lot of countries, or Achav was
the
non-Jewish king?
No, Achav was a king, a Jewish king, was Melech Achashverosh is a non-Jew. So again, a description about Shlomo, that you know Shlomo did the whole thing and he is very powerful. Now a description about what Shlomo used to eat and used to serve his people. But Yerachem Shlomo Yom Echad, one day, this is what the meal was required to bring so much food to Shlomo. We don't know, there's no information. We know he had one son and few daughters. How many daughters we don't know? At least two, maybe more. Right now he doesn't have it yet.
He must have had a lot more than that because of so many wives.
Right. I don't know if they had children. I don't know if they had children. You see, they say he had only one son. I don't know. You should say he has one daughter, but in the Navi says he has two daughters. But I don't know. There's no information how many children he had. There's the information in Navi about David, not about Shlomo. One of the reasons that most of the wives that he had were not Jewish. He converted them, maybe semi-conversion, maybe full conversion, but at the end, part of them, maybe most of them, maybe all of them, did not obey the laws, and they used to worship Avodah Zarah. So maybe this is one of the reasons that we don't have any information about his children. Even though the Navi in Divrei Hayamim and here also in the Melachim, Shmuel, there are names of the children of David HaMelech. There are no names of Shlomo HaMelech's children besides one who took after him, his name was Rechama. So the Nabi says, "Ve'yilechem Shlomo liyom echad 30 kol sole ve'shishim kol kamach." That he had a tremendous amount of flour and very pure flour. Tremendous amount. This is mainly the Gemara says, Chachamim says, is to feed the staff of Shlomo HaMelech and the guests that used to come. So always in the meal, this was required from Shlomo HaMelech. So one version, the Gemara says, that this amount, enormous amount of food, was required by Shlomo, and because he had too many wives, so many wives, no one knew exactly when he's going to have his dinner or his lunch, and they used to prepare. That means whatever you're going to learn, you have to multiply it by maybe 1,000. Because the Navi says that he had 1,000 wives, Shlomo. And each one did not know when is he coming to eat lunch by her, or dinner. There's no information. So therefore, each one of them had to prepare it. And all of Israel was responsible to supply this enormous amount of flour, and as well, sentence 3, Asara Bakarim, at every meal they had like 10 bulls, the Srim Bakari, 10 bulls from the outside, Umay Aton, 100 sheep, Levad, besides, Mayal, 2 Yachmo, kind of deers, Mamurim, Amusim, all kind of ducks. The Gemara says either they made them fat because they forced the food, or they just put them in a place that they ate a lot. But sometimes the Gemara says Shmuel, or the Tana Shmuel, was a doctor, and he said it's not healthy to eat chicken or any kind of meat that they force the food into them. In today also, the ducks, when you buy ducks, they force the food into their mouth. So the Gemara says Shmuel was a doctor, and Shmuel said, whatever it says over here, that in time of Shlomo, they had those ducks, the fed ducks, served on the plate, but how did they become fed? Well, the Chachamim said, when they became fed, this was the system, and it's the system today also. They force the food into their throat. And Shmuel was a doctor, says, if you can eat such a meat, it's not healthy for you. The animal has to eat by itself. You cannot force the food into the animals. Because what it means is the organs and the inside part of the body working too hard, and the food is not being digested in the right way. So this was the meal again of Shlomo HaMelech.
What's the last one?
Yachmuz, it's the pasuk in the Torah. I ask you, Yachmuz, it's kind of a deer. Akov Elishon, Tehova Zemer. It's called Chayot. They all look like deer, they all have horns.
So they do it all with extra food. It's only
set
up for one person.
No, I don't know what it is. It's a very good question.
And if they weren't Jewish, could people eat
it? Whatever, I guess. He converted all of them, but there's a big machloket. The machloket is that conversion really was a good conversion, seems that the Nabi will tell us later that Shlomo had no control on them, and they used to sacrifice and serve Avodah Zarah. If you do such a thing, the question is, in the beginning, did they accept really our religion, or they just did it to marry Shlomo, to marry. He forced them into marriage. Right. The Gemara says that you're not allowed to convert in time of David and Shlomo, because it's not a real conversion. That whoever wanted to come and convert in time of David and Shlomo, they didn't accept conversion. Since the conversion is a fake conversion, because everybody wants to become a Jew, since they saw how powerful David was, and since they saw how powerful Shlomo was, that everybody wanted to convert and become a Jew. The Gemara says no one was accepted to be a convert in time of David Shlomo. It means the conversion is not a true conversion. That's a whole discussion among all the Chachamim. That is, somebody wants to convert, he says, why do you want to convert? It is because it's a Jewish person is very successful, so therefore I better become a Jew. I become a Jew, I'll be successful. I'll own the real estate, I'll own this, I'll own that. So this is not a true conversion. A true conversion is if you decided that you want to keep the Torah because you realize that's the right path, but not because you see a success. If you see a success and then decide to convert, that's a forced conversion. But the Gemara says in Tanna Mishnah, no one was accepted as a convert because it's not a true conversion. That's the Chachamim said, it's kind of marriages that people have, that is like converting, or she converted or reconverted. It is if this is for the purpose of marriage, it's not a true conversion. True conversion is only because you realize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu likes us because we keep the Torah, not because I am a Jew, you should convert to become a Jew. The whole question is, we converted. Again, it's no numbers exactly, but the number that the Navi is going to quote is 1,000 ladies that he has. And there's no, we have no information, for example, about Naama. It was the mother of Rechavam, that being described as a holy lady by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, maybe she was not the one that participated in the Avodah Zarah, in servicing and serving Avodah Zarah, but the way the Navi describes it, that Shlomo's wife had no respect for Shlomo, not only had no respect for Shlomo, the Navi is going to say that Shlomo himself was a little bit, if we may say, tilted towards them. So the Gemara says not exactly. What it means is that because he had no control on his wife and the worship of Avodah Zarah, it means that Shlomo himself was worshipping Avodah Zarah. And the Navi will tell us later in this chapter 11 that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going not only to punish Shlomo himself, that died very young, comparable to his wisdom and comparable to his long life that he was supposed to be if he died at age 52. Not only that, he is responsible for bringing back what we call Esav into the picture. That in his time, a person, his name was Hadar, that came back, that he was in exile in Egypt, and came back to Edom, next to Iraq, and rebuilt the regime of Edom of Esav. And of course, we all remember that Esav is the one that's responsible for the destruction of Second Beit HaMikdash. As well, because of his behavior, the Navi will tell us that he was not able to stop another person from bringing back Syria into power. Again, that power of Syria eventually sent the Nebuchadnezzar to destroy the first person. So then his behavior of Shlomo...
He said
Namah
was not a good name.
I didn't... Namah is a good name.
So then why did he take...
I don't know.
I don't know.
But she was a holy lady.
Yeah, it was the wife of Noah, and then Rashi says it was pleasant, so I had
it. What? Rashi doesn't say pleasant.
No.
Rashi doesn't say
pleasant.
And Achotol Al Kai Nama.
Right.
But the question is how holy Tuba Kain was. The Gemara says when you're going to marry a wife, you should see who the brothers are. Mm-hmm. That's the only thing you should look for. Not who is your father-in-law, not how much money he has. You should look at your wife's brothers. Mm-hmm. The Gemara says that eventually, your children are going to look like them.
No
the Gemara says the nephews look like the uncle.
What if
he
has no brothers?
I don't know, so they cannot find anything. And one of the reasons that we had Ham, this kind of a behavior that he behaved, is because Naama's brothers. And this is one of the reasons that Torah tells us Nachot Bal Kai Naama, and this is why the Torah tells us, of course Rashi says Naama is Noah's wife, but again we don't see it in the Torah. So why did the Torah write that Naama is a sister to Tubal Kai? That is because Tuba Kain, according to some Chachamim, was not the holiest person. Moshe's Avodah Zarah a little bit. Naama was his sister. Of course she was holy, that's why Noah married her. But the children of Noah were not reached the highest level because they're going to look like the brother of Nama. Nama itself, it's a klipa, that it is. This is a very bad name, Nama, very bad.
The Torah said that
Ruth and Nama said because... I said that Nama Ammonite, the Grand Torah says that, I mean, that's what the Kadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe Rabbeinu, don't bother Ammon, for Nama Ammonite, she is a holy lady, she's going to marry Shlomo. That's what I said before. Again, there's no description in the Navi about her, there's no information about her, but there is a general information about all Shlomo's wives. And without exception, that they tilted Shlomo's mind off HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And again, the Gemara would say, no, not exactly, but because Shlomo did not resist them and did not stop them from worshipping Avodah Zarah, this is the Ketoros of Avodah Zarah, that Shlomo is blamed for this as well. Again, what it means is, according to the Chachamim, that the conversion of those ladies was not a real conversion. Because if you have in mind that you want to do Avodah Zarah, how do you know for sure they did not have this kind of thought in their mind when they converted? Maybe they converted just because Shlomo forced them, and this is not a real true conversion, it's called a forced conversion. You see, if a person converted, and after the conversion, a true conversion, he has some hesitation, it's too late. But if in the time of conversion, he decided, I'm not converting, I just want to do it for a reason. So that means he's a goy, means he's not a convert yet. He has to keep saying something to Noah. The Rambam says he has an amaba, but you're not in the level of a Jew. But still, you're a goy. So if all those ladies are full converted, they not have the real Jewish name, I mean they don't have the Jewish entity, that means all the children of the head are not really Jews, are just goy. Maybe that's why you don't hear about.
Well,
he did
on purpose
he did on purpose, but again the Midrash, the Gemara says Hashem was very upset at Shlomo HaMelech. Not only was very upset at him, in time of Chachamim, later, almost a thousand years later, maybe a thousand years later, Chachamim was sitting one day and discussing Shlomo's situation. And while they were learning and discussing Shlomo's situation, Rama Chachamim said, where is Shlomo? The answer is in Gan Eden. So Rama Chachamim said, Gan Eden? This guy, after we studied this, and we learned all this, what he did against the Kadosh Baruch Hu, who married so many ladies, married non-Jewish ladies, and brought himself to a situation that he had too much gold, too much silver, too many horses, he did not obey the mitzvot of the king, what Hashem said. He says, he's in Gan Eden, let's pull him out of Gan Eden. Chachamim has the power to pull somebody out of Gan Eden. They started to pull his neshama out of Gan Eden, and at the time they were pulling the neshama, the bench, the chair they were sitting, broke and they fell on the floor. They fell on the floor, Chachamim, and said, must be, that David HaMelech is so strong in Gan Eden, does not let us stretch him out from Gan Eden. Otherwise, they would just take him out of Gan Eden, put him in Gehenna. They were so upset at him at that story as you're going through them. That's how much Chachamim was upset. So no matter a thousand years later, after Shlomo died already, that his neshama is in Gan Eden a thousand years, Chachamim has the power to pull him out. Can you imagine what Chachamim or the Rabbanim have koach, power to bring somebody to take his neshama from Gan Eden to put him in Gehenna? So the description over here, the way we were taught in school and kindergarten, I said it's just to show how great Shlomo was. But on the other hand, it's going to show the downfall, how big the downfall is, if he was so great in the beginning. It's tough that, according to Chachamim, and then Navi in one place, Chachamim, about 60,000 people he had in his staff, 60,000. Some of them soldiers, some of them just servants, 60,000 people, and he had to serve lunch every day for 60,000 people. 60,000 people eating. And this is what the Gemara says, the description, how much flour and pure flour you had to use, and the meat, and how much meat, besides all the good things, and that this was necessary to feed his army and his staff in the palace. Sentence 4, with your permission, Kihu was there, the Khwalayu an army, Kisahbar Azam. Here there is a bigger description that Shlomo HaMelech ruled from a place called Tifsach to a place called Adar Plishtim, and the Gemara is a machloket. If Tifsach is on the other side of the world, like a Hodu Mehodu Ve'at Kush, like a Hashverosh, or Tifsach and Azar are very near to each other, and the description is like Tifsach is a city next to Azar in Plishtim, you should know, like this is so close to each other, Shlomo ruled the whole world like everything was underneath his wing. It's very close to his own palace. All the kings behind the river, what it means is behind Prat River. The Shlomo also was peaceful. He had no wars with everybody. He was just ruling everything, but everybody was like a slave. Description of Am Yisrael, sentence 5, with your permission, Vayeshev Yudam Yisrael Lavetach. Everybody was dwelling, sitting, living, secure, certainly, Ish Tachat Gatom Yitachat Enatom Yidam HaLeshev HaKolim HaShlomo. From Dan to Beersheba, Beersheba is maybe the southern place of Israel. It's not Chachamim, said HaKolim, some Chachamim, but after Beersheba, maybe a little bit further down is still considered Eretz Israel, but not all the way to Eilat for sure. That Eilat for sure is not considered Eretz Israel. So Am Israel is dwelling, living very, certainly very quiet underneath the vineyard, underneath the fig tree. The whole day of Shlomo, again, Shlomo had a tremendous regime that Am Israel had very much nice life, as we may say. Again, found the description is paradise. It's Baruch Hashem, Shlomo has servants, Baruch Hashem, Shlomo can feed them, Shlomo has representatives, Shlomo has kind of officers that take, that rule, they do everything for him, the whole world is underneath Shlomo, Shlomo takes from everybody things, Baruch Hashem Amisrael is very happy, the old well. That's a fine description. Ve'eli Shlomo b'melech uvot susin l'merkavo, here comes the first tragedy that Shlomo has 40,000. Again, the simple explanation is that he has 40,000 horses for his chariot. Ushneman Sarev Barajim has 12,000 people that they ride on the horses. It means he has, if you deduct 12,000 for 40,000, it means he has 28,000 horses without people riding on them. It's extra horses that he should not have had, because the Torah says, do not have too many horses. Again, the Rabbi says, in Sefer Divrei Hayamim, you'll find, Divrei Hayamim is the conclusion of the Tanakh, was written by Ezra and Nehemiah. Over there it says clearly that Shlomo went and he ordered everything from Egypt. At that time, the horses came from Egypt, and this is again what the Torah says. The Torah says, you may not have too many horses if you don't need them, and here the Nabi will tell you 40,000 horses. And of course you have to feed them. That's called the Ovot Media Condition for Hamim. Can you imagine to feed 40,000 horses every day? I mean not that gas is cheaper, but 40,000 horses that you don't need, that's against the Torah. Forget about the sin, just you know, the amount, the enormous amount of food that you have to, the hay that you have to give them.
He fetches
it 40,000 stables. Right, it's wrong. It's wrong. Whoever translated it, it's wrong.
Once you said that the horses is wrong.
Because, just one second, why it's wrong. The Gemara has contradiction. That in Sefer Divrei Hayamim it says only 4,000. Nobody says 40. As the Gemara question, so from the Divrei Hayamim, Ezra and Nehemiah wrote 4,000. Here it says 40. Is it 40 or 4? The Gemara says what he says. The Gemara says it's 4,000 tables. not 40. You have to read the sentence like this. Yishumah Abayim Elef, he had 40,000. In the Uvot, in those tables, he had horses. But not 40,000, not 40,000 stables. Because you don't have a stable for every horse. Yes, what do you tell us, kids? Well, the thing is like this. Ari says like this. The first time you find a horse in the Torah is in Egypt. This is in Parashat Vayigash. The first time it's mentioned horse, that Yosef bought all the horses from the Egyptian people. So the Gemara says the horse is a very bad animal. First of all, the Gemara says, when you ride on a horse and you go to a war, the horse has in his mind that you should get killed in the war that you'll be able to run away. That's how smart the horse is. The second thing the Gemara says, the horse usually does not sleep so much. It doesn't sleep, so that's good. Only if he's not sleep because you want the mitzvah. But the horse has a dirty mind. All what he wants is to do bad things. Yes. So this is Yosef's job when he came to Egypt. He bought all the horses from the Egyptians. They should not have horses. Because the horses and animals are going to drive you into such situation that your head will not be clear. This is one of the reasons that it says, Ariel says, that the people say the king should not have too many horses to bring Amisrael back to Egypt. What it means is not necessarily you should move to Egypt. It means you should not go back to that idea of the Egyptians that weren't pure at all. And here comes the downfall of Amisrael, the Shlomo immediately has 40,000 horses. Excuse me, and all the horses come from Egypt. And not only that, the Navi is going to say that they paid a lot of money for the horses. That every chariot Shlomo had, the Navi says, had four horses. The chariot cost Shlomo 600, what we call silver coins. A horse cost him 150 coins. It's an enormous amount of money. Of course, there were special horses. But again, it's against the Torah to have too many horses. So again, so now we see already, the description is that you're going to say, wow, look at Shlomo, how many horses. Again, the Gemara says, it's a downfall. It's a downfall. Not only his downfall, what we learned before is also downfall, but it's be too early for that. The sentence 7, you permission to kilo and itzavim ha'ele, the ones that we in the chapter before, the Shlomo HaMelech appointed kind of officers, supervisors, to go and take from all the tribes, from divided their into 12 pieces, and took from Am Yisrael a little bit of taxes, mainly maybe food, in order to support and to supply food for the palace. So those, the officers were able to do it. Nothing was missing. Baruch Hashem, says the Gemara, they were able not only to supply the food what we learned before, they were able to get all kinds of vegetables that you cannot get in the winter, they got in the winter. You cannot get in the summer, they got in the summer. Nothing was missing from the table because those people, those supervisors, made a very good job. Not only that, it's going back to the horses, the surim, the teven, the barley, and the hay, the susim, the larachesh, to the horses, or kind of other animals, look like horses maybe. They all had to bring the hay and the barley to the place that over there, that place was the stables, were the horses. So until here is the description, maybe, physical success of Shlomo HaMelech. He rules the whole world. He's having everything that he wants, a tremendous staff, palace, everything is perfect. sentence 9 comes by Tenir Ukim Chokhmah Shlomah Tmuna Arbe Meod. It comes a spiritual description that Shlomo was granted by HaKadosh Baruch Hu with a lot of wisdom. Berochav Lev, it means his heart was so big and open, Kachol HaShat Fatayam, again, a very strange description, like the sand on the beach. It means Shlomo is so much ahead of the world that his wisdom is like the sand on the beach. I don't know what it means exactly. It means sand on the beach has nothing to do with wisdom. Sand on the beach has to do with number. But in Amin says he should know he was so smart. And if you're going to measure his IQ, that is if you want to translate it, his IQ was like the sand on the beach. It's not a description of what he did, but it's impossible even to understand how much he was able to understand and to do. People say that he made this, he made that, electricity, it's impossible to know what he did. There's no end, there's no limitation to what he was able to do and what he did. But Terek Chokhmat Shlomo, his wisdom was so much that it was so far ahead from the wisdom of all the nations around, even from the wisdom of Egypt. So the Gemara said that the Egyptians were big magicians. The Egypt at the time was at the top of the world as far as the wisdom is concerned, and Shlomo is the smartest one from all of them. Again, what does it mean? It means he can get a Nobel Prize for wisdom. So, I mean, again, the way Hashem put the software in your head, that's how smart he is. The smart you are. So what the Navi is going to say, Shlomo is very smart. Of course he's very smart. Hashem gave him the wisdom. One of the answers is that Hashem granted Shlomo's wisdom because Shlomo was very humble in the beginning. That he asked from Hashem, asked him, what do you want me to give you? And Shlomo said, I want only wisdom. I don't need anything else. And the wisdom that I want is in order to judge them Israel. As we learned in the chapters before. And this is what the Navi is coming here and tell us, that Shlomo was so smart because Shlomo was very humble. Hashem granted him with that wisdom. This is just a sign or a hint that if you want to be very smart, you must be very, very humble. We'll get it in a second. Other Chachamim say that the Midrash says that if you think that Shlomo was granted with wisdom because he asked for wisdom, it's a mistake. Shlomo was granted with wisdom because before HaKadosh Baruch Hu arrived to him and asked him, what would you like? It's also something very strange that HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes to someone and says, what would you like me to give you? There's no other place in Tanakh or in Gemara that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will come to somebody, maybe one other place. Ask somebody, what do you mean to give you? And the reason for that is the Gemara says, Shlomo fasted 40 days. If you fast 40 days, Ari says, Segula. That's whatever you want, you get. One after one. You have to fast, eat only at night, 40 days in a row to fast. If you fast 40 days, you get it. Rashi himself, before he wrote his commentary on the Torah, fasted 613 days in a row besides Shabbat and Rosh Chodesh and Moadim. After he fasted 613 mitzvot that we have, he said, let me start now to write my commentary on the Torah. And eventually it was in the Gemara as well. But first he fasted 613 days. So whatever you want to get, fast is the right tool. Whatever you need, Tanit, what we call Tanit. Not Tanit Dibur, Tanit. This is the Rambam Tanit. Dibur is a new thing. It's for people that like to talk, maybe it helps. But really what you do is a fast. Says the Gemara, Tanit, Shlomo made a Tanit, 40 days Tanit. After 40 days, Hashem came up to him and says, yes, what can I do for you? Hashem did not come to him just out of nowhere and says, what can I do for you? Because he fasted 40 days, then Hashem arrived. Hashem arrived, and he says, what do you want me to give you? He says, wisdom. So that's something, that's a description, that Shlomo's wisdom is so great and far ahead of everybody. It says, blame it on the 40 days that it fasted. When you want to get something, you fast. When you fast, you get. This is what we learn in the Navi, in Jonah, and Jonah came to Nineveh and said his prophecy that Nineveh is going to be destroyed. The king of Nineveh said, fast 3 days, the Gezerah was cancelled. Do you remember in Megillat Esther, Esther said to Mordechai, let the Jewish people fast 3 days, and then I'll go to the king. This is Ta'anit, fasting helps a lot. 40 days of fasting break everything. And that's what Shlomo got his wisdom, because he was fasting. That's the simple explanation of that also. No, nothing. Only at night. It breaks everything in Shaman. Everything. Right. Right, very easy. We in great expect every day now, since Rosh Hashanah, since before Rosh Hashanah.
Yeah.
Half a day. But the whole community, I mean the whole school. Because I told them after what happened last year, with all the tragedies that happened in America, and on the other side, you know, earthquake, 100,000 people in Pakistan, 300,000 people down there, and the tsunami. And this New Orleans, and this Baruch Hashem, Alpha, Beta, Gamma, Delta, every second there is a new hurricane. So I told them the only way to stop it is fasting. After the Twin Tower fell, we fasted 70 days, but the whole day, in the community of them. Because the Zohar says that after the tall building will fall, there will be a big tragedy. So we fasted 70 days. So Chas Shalom, nothing else should happen. So now we're fasting half a day, every day. I told them, don't stop it, we'll go through. Only time, only fast can change something. Only this. If we learn this from Mordechai there, and in the time of reunion in God. So that's what granted Shlomo with wisdom. So we read in Tanakh, you say, oh, Shlomo became very smart. You say, why? You know he became very smart? Because he fasted 40 days, says the message. Not because Hashem just came over to me asking, what do you like me to give you? Hashem doesn't come to a person and say, what do you like me to give you? He says, after you've had for 40 days, then the person. The Hasidim say that if you fast 40 days, you see Eliyahu Navi also. You see Eliyahu Navi also. And they say also that you have to keep your mouth shut. It's a famous story, probably it's true, I don't know how true exactly, but probably it's true. It's one of the Rebbes, it says the Rujina Rebbe, said it in Europe. And one of the Hasidim came over to him after 40 days, and said, I'm sorry, 40 days I fasted, I didn't speak anything, and no Eliyahu Navi, nothing. So he opened up the window, he showed him, hey, see this, it's outside, he also didn't speak for 40 days. He says, who is this? He says, that's my horse. So first you have to be a person, and then if you fast and you are a person, you can have, and the Almighty can have the wisdom. Shlomo understood it, and Shlomo HaMelech, right away when he became a king, he fasted for 40 days. Maybe that's the description in the Navi tells us, that this is how smart he was, but here comes the punchline, sentence 11, Vayechtam mikol Adam. Shlomo was so smart from everybody, Meitana Ezrachi. Etan Ezrachi, Etan, Heman, Kakal, Vedarda, those four people were brothers. And they were very smart. And they were so smart that they were able to do a lot of things. Bnei Machol, they knew how to make kind of songs. And this is some of the Mizmorim that we have in Tehillim. Etana Ezrachi, Emana Ezrachi. So Shlomo was even smarter than them. This is what did not make was smarter than them. Then maybe they were known to be so smart, maybe this is mean. But the Medra says what it means, something else. It says, Mikol Adam means from Adam HaRishon. Etana Ezrachi, this is a description for Abraham Avinu. The Gemara says Masechet Bava Batra, Abraham Avinu is being called Etan Ezrachi. Etan means strong, Ezrachi means the first citizen. that was granted citizenship from HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Abraham Avinu? That means Shlomo is smarter than Adam HaRishon, smarter from Abraham Avinu. Heman is Moshe Rabbeinu, the whole Beiti Ne'emanu. Shlomo is smarter than Moshe. Vechalkol is come from the word Vechalkel, to supply, to feed. This is Yosef. That Shlomo is smarter than Yosef. Vedarda, this is the generation of Dodea. The word Darda comes from two words, Dodea. It means the generation that were in the desert, that being described in the Gemara is a very smart generation. Shlomo is smart than all of them. Bnei Machol, Machol says the Gemara, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu forgave the sin of the golden calf. So Shlomo is smarter, again, than Adam HaRishon, than Moshe Rabbeinu, than Yosef HaTzadik, and he is also smarter than Abraham Avinu. I don't know, Abraham Avinu was known to be so smart, I'm not so sure. Moshe was known to be so smart, I'm not so sure. Yosef was smart, because that's what Paro said. Paro said that in Avon Lechacham Kamocha, and says nobody is so smart like Yosef, being described in the Torah, again, not by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, by Paro. Obviously, maybe it was the right thing, of course, because otherwise Hashem would not have written it. If it was not so right, not necessarily true. But again, there's no description that Moshe Rabbeinu was very smart. Moshe Rabbeinu was the biggest Nabi. Moshe Rabbeinu Isha Elohim is very holy. Avraham Avinu, again, is not being described as smart in the Torah. If you want to say Shlomo is smarter, so you have to find somebody being described smart. Smart in the Torah is... Bezalel, Ben Uri, Ben Hur, the Matei Yehuda, Eliyav, the one that helped Bezalel to build the Mishkan, Ramale Oto, Ruach Chochma, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Moshe Rabbeinu that he, Bezalel, Ben Uri, Ben Hur, is smart. Hashem injected into him Chochma, special wisdom. Again, there is no description about Moshe, that he is very smart. That's it. Not only that, the Gemara says Moshe Rabbeinu went up to Shamayim and learned the Torah with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, used to forget it. Used to forget it, at the end HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave it to him as a present. Moshe was not being described as a genius in the Torah. It's not Chas Shalom, Moshe Rabbeinu was not Chas Shalom, not a genius. But again, in the Torah you don't find description how smart Moshe is. Again, the way the Gemara says, he could not remember what Hashem taught him. Hashem had to give him a special blessing to remember. If you compare Shlomo, you say Shlomo is smarter than Moshe. Again, Moshe was not being described in the Torah as a smart, not Avraham Avinu. Maybe Yosef, not just because Paro said that Yosef is smart. I don't know the job that Yosef did. I don't know if any other Jew could not have done it. I don't know about the non-Jewish, but again, Yosef, Paro said that Yosef is very smart. He knows how to interpret the dream. I don't know, because Yosef interpreted his dream, he's so smart. I don't know. He's a little magician. I don't know this. You don't say somebody that knows how to interpret dreams that he's a smart person. But Paro called him smart. But here the Navi says that Shlomo is smarter than Yosef. And Dardas, the Dora Midbar, is smarter from that generation that grew in the desert. It says, again, there's no information. The Gemara says, yes, though they are, the Gemara says, the very special generation, the one that accepted Torah. But to call them very smart people, there's no description in the Tanakh about it. So it means, again, if you want to compare Shlomo to somebody smart, if you take a person that was known as a smart person, you say Shlomo is smarter than him. And who cares about it? Who cares about it? So Shlomo is smart and bliss, it doesn't matter. It says whatever he knows, and whatever he knows, or whatever he's going to know means nothing. It doesn't mean anything. So whatever does it make? Smarter than Moshe, smarter than Yosef. Even if he's not smarter than Moshe, so what? What are you trying to tell me? You tell me what he knows. Okay. So Moshe did know it. Who cares if Moshe knows it? Shlomo knows it. Shlomo knows more. Okay, he knows more. So what if he knows more? If you tell me he's smarter than Moshe, smarter than Rabbah, smarter than Yosef. He was known. Everybody knew Shlomo. What I don't understand what the Navi wants to teach us. The Shlomo was very famous, so who cares? Who cares that the Navi is telling the Shlomo was very famous? What are you trying to say? Again, maybe that's what it means. It means that he's fasting for 40 days, did the whole thing, as the Navi wants to hint to us that if you know what Shlomo is, and Shlomo is because he was so great and so great, something is missing from the text, but says in the Midrash, he fasted for 40 days. And that's why we need permission with the Beshosh Tarafim Mashal. There's machloket in the Midrash, what does it mean if it's Sefer Mishle first, Shir HaShirim first, but Shlomo HaMelech, besides Mishle and Shir HaShirim and Kohelet, those are the books that were not written by Shlomo himself. The ones that we have, the texts, they were written by Chizkiyahu HaMelech later. Shlomo said them, but they were never accepted and written as books. Chizkiyahu HaMelech, Shlomo's great grandson, later, and his Bedin, his court, put together those three books. It's called Mishle, Kohelet, and Shir HaShirim. And this is according to Gemara. That's what the sentence 12 means. By the Beshul Tafim Mashal, it's a Mishle. Maybe it means some other things that he did that we don't have the text. Vayishiro Hamisha Ba'alef, it says 1005. Again, it's a question, what does it mean? 1005, it means Shir HaShirim, it means Kohelet, it means every sentence he used to translate into so many times. So he's a poet. He knows how to make poems. Okay, so very nice. So he knows how to say stories, to make an example. So that's what's so important about it. By the Veralai team, again, as a look at what it means, that sentence, if it means this is the book of medicine that Shlomo wrote, it says Kiyahu HaMelech put away. But Shlomo was so smart, he knew if Chas v'Shalom somebody needs medicine, Shlomo said you can go to that tree and you take a leaf, and either you rub the leaf on your skin, or you mix it with something and drink it, or you chew on it by itself. This is the book of medicine, Chokhmat HaRefuah Shel Shlomo HaMelech, that according to some Chachamim, not too many years ago, some people in Armenia had that book. So not Chas v'Shalom to take the job away, but they say somebody has a wound, somebody broke an arm, it says you don't need a cast, you don't need an x-ray, you need a special leaf that you rub it on your skin, and it helps the whole thing to heal immediately. Immediately. And that's what Shlomo HaMelech's book. This is like Daber al Ha'etzim, that sentence, like Daber al Ha'etzim, one of the explanations is that he knew the purpose of creation of every tree, why Hashem created so many trees, and all of them have different smell, different ingredients in them, is because the purpose is to heal people. And this is what Shlomo HaMelech, when he became so smart, he said, like, Daber Alei Etzim. That's what he did. Until now, we just learned what he was so smart. He says, what the bottom line, what did he do with your wisdom? I wrote a book about medicine. There's Min Ha'eretz Asher Ba'Lebanon, from the top tree that's in Lebanon, Ad Ha'ezov Asher Yotzeh Ba'Kir, until the little zatar that grows on the wall, Vayedaber Al Ha'Bimah Al Ha'Ovah La'Emes Ha'Adagim. It says the same thing he did with animals and fish and all the creatures that they hear. So the Midrash says that somebody had a wound, and Shlomo HaMelech said, go take this little worm and put this worm on the wound, you're going to be healed in 1 second. Infection, a broken piece, broken bone in your body, you can fix it with also not, if you don't have this kind of leaves, trees around your backyard or it's far away, you can go and it says which animal to take, what kind of bird to take, what kind of a creature that crawls, or fish. Fish, you take a bone of a fish, or you take part of the fish. Again, either you rub it, or you soak it, or you eat it. It says that's going to heal you. That's so again the proof of medicine that Shlomo invented.
Did Rambam
No. That book was put away by Chizkiyahu HaMelech. Again, some Chachamim said not long time ago, some people in Armenia had it.
Jews,
what
I mean, or not?
No, some people.
How many years ago?
There's no information. The Yemenite people have some kind of heritage that they had the Book of Shlomo. I personally do not know the person, but I do know somebody that went to a person, a Yemenite person in Israel, that had a book from the time of Shlomo HaMelech with the names of all the Shedim. And he used to call them up in Yerushalayim.
Right.
And the Yemenite people have the, when we say, the biggest heritage. No. The biggest heritage, I mean the strongest heritage and the true heritage, besides the Fatim. But the Yemenites were very strong about belief and to follow the heritage of Am Yisrael without movement. Rabbi Ovadia and other Chachamim say, for example, if you want, you try to take a etrog, a Yemenite etrog. Because in Yemen was no, what we call America, monkey business, false etrog. That they took a etrog and they took another tree and they put it together, and it's not a real etrog, it's called mokav, it's half etrog, it's half kushkash, or half another lemon, or half orange. It says the Yemenites are very straight, strict, honest, and very devoted to heritage. Very devoted to heritage. And they say some of the things that the Yemenites know about medicine come from Shlomo HaMelech. Also the Iranian people, the Farsim. They're very close to Yemen. And also they had some kind of knowledge from time of Shlomo HaMelech. But the Yemenites, because they follow the heritage so strongly, they deliver and they pass it. They pass from a father to son exactly what they know, and they left Israel right away when Shlomo is going to downfall here now. They left Israel, they packed up the bags, they went to Yemen. And they said Shlomo is not behaving, and some of them already knew that it's going to be a destruction from the Tehillim of David HaMelech al Na'ot Babel, and said we have no business to stay in Israel. They went, but they carried with themselves the wisdom of Shlomo. And they had in their head the book. Whatever Shlomo wrote at the time, everybody knew, was no doctor needed, there was no hospitals, nothing. Until after Chizkiyahu, nobody was sick, and was no hospitals. Somebody got sick, had Shlomo HaMelech book. The Yemenite people took the wisdom, they went to Yemen. And some of the things the Yemenite people say, it's from time of Shlomo HaMelech. No. So this is one of the explanations of that sentence. The other explanation, of course, is that Shlomo was able to listen to the tree. It means the tree speaks. Right. Yeah, the time of Mashiach for sure, but even today, if you have the right ears, you can hear what the tree says. The tree really speaks. Really speaks. Of course, it's a question, but again, the Gemara says that Shlomo understood and was able to speak to the animals. Speak to the animals. For example, the Medrash says the one time they brought a fish to Shlomo, and the fish asked Shlomo, after Shlomo started a conversation with him, and the fish asked Shlomo, says, can you tell me what is this kind of barbarian that people come to the ocean with nets, with rods, and dig us and take us out, and we go fishing? What is this? Why are they doing it to us? Going for fun, fishing for fun. So Shlomo HaMelech told him, I just want to tell you, the reason is because in time of the Mabul, the six past star, the Gemara says, Kol asher b'charava metu v'lo dagim shebayam. The fish did not die. So the fish says, So what is this doing? Anything? He says, you, when you were in the ocean and you saw the destruction, you were very happy for the people that they died. Hashem did not like it. This is your punishment. People go fishing, fish you, take you out of the ocean for fun. A punishment for you because you weren't upset for the destruction of the world. Some kind of discussion, the Medrash says, Shlomo had with all the animals. When they asked him questions, he answered them, besides that he himself understood the language of those animals and the trees as well. And yet, maybe what it means is, it's very nice to know that the language maybe, it's very nice to know that somebody can hear it and understand it, but again, maybe what it means is, again, to show that Hashem granted Shlomo with such a wisdom, because again, it is felt as positive. The Medrash says like this, Rabbi. The Medrash. The Medrash says like this. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when he created the world, he told Adam HaShon should rule everything. It means that Adam HaShon was not allowed to eat fish, according to most of the Chachamim. Definitely was not allowed to eat any meat. Nevertheless, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him a blessing, a special blessing. You should rule everything. You should rule everything. Says the Midrash, the Parashat Noach, after Noach came out of the Teva, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him that he is allowed to eat the meat, allowed to eat fish, but Hashem never granted him with a blessing that he is able to rule the animals. And says that blessing, the Midrash says, came in time of Shlomo. What it means is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to show us what the world should look like according to the plan of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If somebody would ask us how the world is, what's supposed to look, how is Gan Eden, what's supposed to take care of us, it says, this is Sefer Melachim, chapter 5, and it says, that's what it is. Adam HaRishon was able to go in Gan Eden, speak to the animals, rule the animals. Adam HaRishon was able to understand everything, to know everything, but then he says, wait, Shlomo smarter than him. But the Kadosh Baruch Hu created a creature now, again, because Shlomo was testing, says Ari, 40 days. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to teach you, how high can you go? You go, Hashem wanted to show you what it look like, what you can do. It says Shlomo is higher than that. Moshe Rabbeinu again. Moshe Rabbeinu, the way he understood at the end of the Torah, not of course in the beginning. What it means is he was able later to tell Am Yisrael the Torah and to teach us the Torah and to give us the Torah. Shlomo is greater than him. Yosef, that one that was able to supply in the time of a famine food, the zechut of Yosef, Shlomo HaMelech is greater than him. Again, says Darim, because Shlomo HaMelech asked for wisdom. None of the above asked for wisdom. None of the above fasted 40 days in order to get wisdom. Partially, Zari said, as the Torah says, that Moshe Rabbeinu was fasting, was in Shamayim 40 days and 40 nights, after HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us 10 commandments. Again, this is something that Moshe Rabbeinu says, hints to us, Lechem lo achalti, mayim lo shatiti, to tell you that that's what the Pesach Yavot says, Tzadaka shel Torah, Pat Amer Torah Bayim Mesorat Yishtei, says you should eat less, drink less, because this will grant you with wisdom. But isn't this really what it says over here before? That since Shlomo, there's no description about Shlomo himself, but Shlomo sat eating so much, and it says so much flour, pure flour, solid, so many bulls and sheep, all kind of fed ducks to eat to these people. You see, this is a downfall. It's a downfall. It's not the more you eat, you have a better life. Less you eat, you much ahead of the game. And so Shlomo was very smart, because he fasted for 40 days. Since it's going to be a supply of food, and you're going to enjoy yourself, it's going to be a downfall. But Yishmael Yishud Vayivat said, Ari, soon you're going to see Shlomo is going to marry 1,000 wives. It says, blame it on who? The food that he ate. There's so much food that he ate. Shlomo is going to have horses, too many horses. He doesn't answer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Blame the food. Shlomo and Rabbi will tell us in Divrei Yamim, later on here, he described that the time of Shlomo, everybody was so rich. Shlomo himself was very rich, was able to gather so much gold and silver to his palace. It says, blame it on the food. Not you losing your wisdom when you eat too much. The Rambam says, in Hilchot Ta'anit, the Rambam says, The ta'anit that you do, you should know, ta'anit makes the person's body to lose the desire for material, to be materialistic. You're going to try to be more spiritually when you do a ta'anit. One of the reasons why we have ta'anit, says the Rambam, if you want to reach any level, is because the brain of a person works much better. It says the more food that you have in your system, the brain works less. The less food you have in the system, the brain works better. You should know, Shlomo became very smart because he fasted. Soon he didn't see Baruch Hashem, so much food, he appointed supervisors, officers to collect food for the staff, food for himself. According to the Midrash, each wife had to make every day this kind of supper and lunches. Maybe Shlomo is going to come, eat over there, nothing is missing. Missing is the Gemara says vegetables in the winter, vegetables in the summer. It is the special ducks. It is special, very, very, very fat ducks, very good. It is downfall. Downfall. Again, says Dari, if you remember, it's really what HaKadosh Baruch Hu hinted with Adam HaRishon. It says, don't eat from the tree. It says, eating from that tree as well is going to be downfall to you. Shlomo, since he started to eat, and since his brain wasn't working as well, and we're going to see later how much down he can fall down because of the food that he ate. And says, this is, says Dari, just a message for us. A message for us that less eating, your brain gets smarter. That's halacha in the Rambam. Rambam said, it's a ta'anit, and he says, I didn't feel so well, I can do ta'anit. He says, well, I do Yom Kippur once a year, it's enough for me. You don't understand. So Rambam says the ta'anit was given to you to purify your brain. If you eat a lot of food, your brain cannot make the right judgment. Your head is heavy, you make the wrong decisions. He says, you go out to meet with a salesman, yes, but you don't eat. Let him eat. If he's going to eat, you can confuse him. If you're going to eat, he's going to confuse you. He says, food confuses the person. Achievement is for the ta'anit. That's what Moshe writes in the Torah. 40 days for the night, I didn't eat in order to learn from HaKadosh Baruch Hu the Torah. I had to fast for 40 days for the night. Not because there was nothing else to eat. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is giving him over there lunches also. Says HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not give him lunches because you don't get the Torah in your system if your stomach is full. Says the Gemara, Ad Shaddam Mitpalel, until a person prays that the food should come and digest in his stomach, he should pray that the Torah should be digested in his stomach. Says, hey, that's what the Gemara means. The Gemara means you pray to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you don't have to eat too much. The less you eat, smarter you are. So the achievement of Shlomo, that he can speak to the animals, he knows to write his medicine book, he knows everything, he's smart and all of this, that's because he fasted 40 days ahead and asked for wisdom. It's not because Hashem granted him that. This is just for us, this is something for us that we have to understand. To be smart is the biggest thing. That's what Navi said. That's what the Hezekiah wrote this Navi. The purpose is that to be smart. And smart is the whole world knows about Shlomo, he knows how to write. He became, all of a sudden, became a poet. He knows how to write poems. This is what he's trying to say. He's trying to tell you that he reached that level higher than everybody else before because he ate less. When you're going to start eating more, it's going to be downfall. So I'm going to listen to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it says the Pasuk in the Torah, Vayishman Yishurun Vayivat, Shaman Ta'avita Kakita. The more you eat, your brain works less, says the Rambam. Your brain works less, it says you lose your smartness, you lose your idea, and you cannot make the right decision because the body has a tremendous power over your spiritual energy. The battery is almost there. Okay,